New name and glory. And you can have your name on a lot of things, but nothing don't be like having your name written down in glory.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you.
Praise God.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Praise God. Praise God.
Hallelujah. Praise God. 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 Praise Turk to Italy. So we need to keep these in our prayers.
Amen.
If you have a need, why don't you lift your hand? I've got God that's very aware. What your need is tonight.
Let's go to the Lord together in
faith. Jesus.
Hallelujah.
I believe he heard me. He heard you. Amen. He heard us tonight.
Amen.
He's going to answer our prayer.
Amen.
Before you're seated, would you turn to someone and say, I'm full of the fire of the Holy Ghost. Do that first. Turn to someone. After you do that, I want you to turn back to him and say, and I'm ready to feel the fire of the Spirit. Amen. You may be seated. Do you have a situation over there? We also need some more people to help us in the daytime with Father's food. And if you could, see my wife and I as soon as service is over. If you thought you signed up for tomorrow, see us and find out the times exactly. We've been so busy at the booth, I haven't been able to finish the schedule and get it out to everybody a hard copy because we've been living at the booth. And there's no time to get the schedule done. So sorry about that, but that's just the way it is. Sunset is now up and running, so Trudy will need to be there tonight and also at the Greenway booth. And remember all the rules that we set forth and help us to comply with those. And again, let's say we need more help. If you can do that, that would be fantastic. And I want to read one verse. It says, let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. He will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. For as the heavens are higher than God, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Now I just wanted to throw in a little claim and say, I am thankful for the thing that is happening among our young people. To say amen to this, and the youth prayer meetings, you had to get a pry bar to open their mouth to begin to even get them to say grunt. You know, it was hard to get them to even open up because of the pressure that was there, peer pressure, holding them back. But I'm thankful that I can say the last few nights we have about 10, 15, maybe 20 kids walking around the sanctuary, clapping, praising, and worshiping God and energy. You cannot worship God totally and completely unless you have repented of your sins. That's the reason why they could not worship God totally and completely. They had to set their quiet. But now I believe last night I see tears running down cheeks, and I begin to see something breaking some of their hearts. And now, because they are repenting and begin to lay things on the altar, now with a true heart and a pure heart, they can really start worshiping God. And that's what's happening. I got the surge of the Spirit tonight in that prayer room, and I tell you what, you may not know this, and you may not have seen it, but back there in that room is a big, huge altar covered with junk. Man did not do that. God does that. We could not pry that junk out of their hands and out of their hearts.
Right.
That's right. The Spirit of God to their hearts. And if you make them let go of it willingly and lay it on an altar, and I told them we wanted to get around in the front and begin to start sacrificing the Lord. Because I told them that last night could be the beginning of a ministry that God can put in their heart. Ministry to soul winning, a ministry to whatever God can call it. And tonight, this night, could be a memorial in this church among our young people. And I want every church to ask them, you may come to make a sacrifice at all, but if you slam a hammer on that church and break it up, I want us to rejoice for what God's doing. And I tell you, as they begin to start hitting that sound with a hammer, I'm not telling the two young people, and I was beginning to really rejoice for the people in that place. I'm ready for revival. And God only gives the revival. You feel so? There is a new heaven for us. God is good to us. God is good to us. God is good to us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
I tell you, I hope our young people, I feel the Holy Ghost is beginning to just try to plow on the hearts back there, plow it up and break it up the ground, and get ready for this man. I believe this man's been fasting. He's fasted 3 days, if I'm not wrong. He's fasted, and he's getting a hold of God, and he's getting some of the seed in his ground being broken up, and now God can start cutting his soul and seed in the heart of our young people. And I'm praying to you, and pray and fast, and the Holy Ghost begins to start bringing fruit out of that stuff. I don't believe it. I believe it. Before this revival is over, we can double our youth group in this church. We can double our youth group. Is the night we're going to bring young people to this church to see a body of life. I told them last night we had a night for kids, and we see tears flowing for kids. Tonight we had a night of actually laying things on the altar, physical things on the altar, and sacrificing. The next two nights we're going to draw closer to God and get our vessel ready and get ourselves ready and get ready for God to use us. And I believe Friday night, souls are going to come here, we're going to be on the victory side, and we're going to praise the souls to the Holy Ghost.
Thank you.
do that.
Greet our visitors, who have been serving with us. Give them a warm welcome. Sister Diane Turner, you want to introduce our guest to you. Then it's again good to have Matthew Tucker here. All the way to the big little country of Holland. Holland is, the land area is about 1/4 the size of the state of Washington. 1/4 the size, and about 12 million population. And food cooks and bicycles. I mean it, bicycles everywhere. And it's good to have you here.
Amen.
It's good to have related powers, nieces with us, and nieces with us again tonight. And Derek Wade is good to have you visiting from
Amen. That's right. Amen.
And you're here. I hope your pastor knows you in your back. Amen. Amen. I see this is Tina here tonight.
Amen.
Oh, yes. And I ask the Lord. We have any other visitors here tonight? Yeah.
Amen.
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 On an absolute gorgeous day the Lord gave us.
Amen.
And what a beautiful move of His Spirit.
Amen.
That we have already experienced. Those of you that are not familiar with our worship, we don't want to scare you to death. I promise you we won't hurt you. None of us are mad at anything but the devil. We're mad at sin, we're mad at unrighteousness and crime and all that go with the works of the devil. Now, if you see us doing some things that you don't quite understand, don't worry about us. We rarely ever get hurt. Rarely. And we try to be very, very kind to our guests.
Amen.
When we have guests, we make it our business to compromise with them. We won't try to make them do like we do if they don't try to stop us. When I was a pastor, a lady came to me after one of the services. She'd been there several times, and she looked me straight in the eye and said, "You are all crazy." And walked right. But the next night she came back. I said, "See, you come back to join the ranks of the insane." She said, "I'm crazy too." Well, it wasn't long until she enjoyed living for the Lord just like me. Living for the Lord is more than a thought process. It's a heartfelt experience that will change your life. Amen. Now, we didn't have any trouble getting God to fall in love with me.
No.
God fell in love with His creation.
Amen.
But it's difficult to get men to fall in love with God.
Right.
And if we could ever persuade you to make God your lover, you love God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and all of your mind, I promise you that you will never be unhappy.
Amen.
Even in the darkest moments of despair, there will be rays of happiness that will come to you. I have been living for the Lord a lot longer than I lived in sin. And I have never desired to go back to where I came from.
All right.
From the 6th chapter of the book of Gospel of St. Mark, I'm going to again read the verse of Scripture that we had Sunday morning. I am preaching a series of messages on honoring the ministry. We live in an age when men of God are not highly respected anymore.
Right.
I realize there have been some preachers that didn't do right.
Right.
But we've had presidents that didn't do right. As a matter of fact, we've got one now that doesn't do right. I've learned one thing about politics. When the movie actor, Mr. Ronald Reagan, was president, was elected, I made up my mind then that anybody could become president.
Yeah.
And after 4 years of Mr. Bush, I decided we didn't really need one. And after almost 3 years, or whatever, 5 years of Mr. Clinton, whatever it's been, I'm trying to ask dangerous to have one. Jesus chose 12 men. He handpicked
kingdom.
Amen.
And one of them turned out to be a devil.
Right.
Now, did we expect any less percentage to not be
right? Right. Right.
I am persuaded that those that fail are to see where our confidence is in God or in man. I don't live for man, I live for the Lord. And He's never done me nothing but ever. And I know so many good creatures, so many good men of God, that they are so great in the eyes of God that they completely overshadow that few that didn't do right, and I don't even know they exist.
Right. Good.
Read us verses 3 and 4, Pastor. I'd like to hear you read.
Is not this the carpenter?
Is not this the carpenter's son?
The son of Mary.
The son of Mary.
The brother of James.
The brother of James.
And Joseph.
And Joseph.
And of Judah.
And of Judah.
Simon.
And of Simon.
And are not his sisters here with us?
And are not his sisters here with us?
And they were offended at him.
And they were offended at him.
But Jesus said unto them.
But Jesus said unto them.
A prophet is not without honor.
A prophet is not without honor.
But in his own country.
In his own country.
And among his own kin.
Among his own kin.
And in his own house.
And in his own house.
What else?
And he could there do no
mighty work. And he could there. In the city of Nazareth, do no mighty work.
Save that he laid his hands upon a few sick folks.
But he did lay his hands on a few sick folks
and healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief.
And he marveled. He was astonished. He was dumbfounded. He was awestricken at their high level of unbelief.
Right.
There is no higher level of unbelief that can invade a sanctuary where God is praised than the unbelief of not honoring the ministry. You may see. It will stop the miraculous. Anyone that is familiar with the King James Version of the New Testament is totally aware that Jesus performed miracle after miracle. He raised the dead. He opened blind eyes. He caused the crippled to walk. He unstopped deaf ears. That he restored withered limbs.
Yes. Right. Right.
But there was nothing impossible
right
for him.
Right.
Amen. Not anything impossible. He was so divinely sent that he could walk through doors.
Right.
Yes.
Amen. And then being lost.
Right.
He could disappear from a crowd.
Right.
And they wouldn't know where he had gone.
Yes,
he did the miraculous. But when he went to the city of Nazareth, where he had been brought up, because they were familiar with him, and they knew him by name, they knew his relatives, they were accustomed to what he did in the line of work. They knew him as a carpenter. But they never recognized him as being a prophet. Never. Jesus never one time referred to the ministry as pastors. He never called them ministers. He never called them clergy. I wonder who thought up that fancy name. I wonder what's wrong with preaching.
Come on.
I like preaching.
Amen.
I like that little fellow that's heading me over there. He did not refer to them as evangelists. He didn't even call his followers apostles. When he referred to the ministry, they were prophets. Now, if anybody knows what a preacher is, surely the one that calls them knows what they are. Now, the deacon board of the First Step Righteous Church may not know what they are. And the deacon board of some seminary may not know what they are, but the one that calls us to preach knows what we are.
Amen.
And according to the scripture, every man of God is first a prophet.
Alright.
Because the word prophet simply means an inspired speaker or one who foretells. That means that Brother Brown, first of all, is a prophet. Brother Dale, first of all, is a prophet. Brother Dwayne, first of all, is a prophet. And our good teacher, first of all, he is a prophet. Secondly, he is a pastor. He is a prophet laboring in the kingdom of God in a secondary position of his immediate calling, which is pastor. But that doesn't mean he's not a prophet. Every God-called preacher is by divine calling a prophet. They may serve in other capacities. But according to the terminology of our Lord, they are all prophets. Now, a lot of people don't believe this, but all I've got to go by is the Bible. And if you don't believe the Bible, then you have problems with your own mind.
Right.
If you're going to live for God, there's one book that you believe in,
right,
and you call the B-I-B-L-E. I'm going to say it again. If you're going to live for God, there's one book you got to go by. That's the Bible.
Right.
And that's the only source of authority we have among us to determine where we are, where we are, and what our job is. Now, all of us in this building are subordinates.
Amen.
Brother Brown, Brother Dale, Brother Dwayne, myself, we're all subordinates to the mission. Everybody listen to that. None of us are equal with
him.
God has placed him as a shepherd over this assembly.
Amen.
We all get our instructions from him. That doesn't mean that we can't pray and hear from God. But as we work in this assembly, we have no alternative but to be subjected or submitted to the mission. Everybody say, praise the Lord. I'm getting ready to preach now. Just going over a few things that I've already said, lest we forget them.
Why?
It doesn't bother me to be a subordinate. I've been one all my life. I've always been in business for myself for most of the time when I had to work, but I was subordinate to the public.
Amen.
It didn't make any difference if I did buy my own paycheck. The public kept me in business.
Amen.
So I was subordinate to the public. If you didn't please them, honey, you'll soon be out of business.
Amen.
So if we are all subordinates in some line of
work,
am I doing all right so far? And all of these men that work here, I'm just here as a guest, but I still still have to be subordinate. I don't care who comes here as a guest. They're subordinate to the mission.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. But all of us, the prophets,
come on,
first.
Come on.
And where there is no one for the divine calling of God, when there is no separation in the mind of a man called to the ministry, there's a problem.
Right.
When we view the men of God that watch for our souls, that carry the gospel as just another Billy Joe, just another Jack, just another Jim, that's where we eliminate the miraculous from among us.
Amen.
Every time I say that, two dads go from my heels to the top of my head. A divine anointing smites me every time I say it, because it is such a truthful statement.
Amen.
We cannot have the miraculous. Now the Lord Jesus Christ is willing to perform miracles here. He was right to perform miracles, and every church building there is in this city, if they would be alive, praise God. He likes to perform miracles. He said he came to seek and to save that which was lost. But he was one man. So he performed miracles to get the lost to come to him. One man can go to millions of people, but you get millions to come to one man. And so he performed the miraculous to get their attention. Everybody likes a miracle. And when word spread that he was able to lay his hands on people and miracles took place, the crowds thronged him. As a matter of fact, there was one crowd that was so large that came to hear him one time. There was 5,000 adult men. The crowd, he didn't have a PA system. But he spoke to them. His voice was so dynamic that he would carry across the desert for them. And he had a congregation so large that 5,000 men were in the crowd, not counting the women and children. He told them for hours until they all got hungry and they were ready to go somewhere eat, but there was no McDonald's, there was no Burger King, there was no Arby's, there was no Wendy's, no Taco Bell, no Denny's. So the Lord said, they're all hungry. What do we have here among us that we can feed them with? Well, Lord, we'll never have enough to feed all these people. Now, where in the world would we get enough food to bring 5,000 men? Because all of them eat like horses. And we can eat like cows. And where could we ever get enough food to feed this crowd? He said, well, see what we've got, and let me see what I can do with it. One poor little fella had enough wisdom to bring his lunch. I don't know if it went this way or not. This is just a mind. His mother might have said, son, I've heard this man preach before. He's very interesting to hear, but he is long-winded. And I'm fixing you a lunch.
Well, praise God.
Well, for some reason he brought it. And I just maximizing, you know, that sounds like a good reason to me. A man in one of the churches I pastored told me one day it was ridiculous to keep people there at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. He said, next Sunday I'm bringing my kids to lunch. Well, at least he wasn't going to stay out. But the Lord took one small lunch that a mother had packed for a little boy. Just a child's lunch. It wasn't a man's lunch. It wasn't for a woodcutter. It wasn't for a coal miner. It wasn't for a carpenter. It wasn't for a school teacher. It was just for the Lord. And the Lord took that small lunch and blessed it and said, now start passing it out. And when they got through passing it out, the 5,000 men and the women and the children, they gathered the 12 baskets full and they had some left over. Please be seated. He didn't do that in Nazareth. He didn't open any blind eyes in Nazareth. He didn't heal any crippled leg in Nazareth. He didn't lose any dumb tongues. He did not stop any deaf ears. He didn't restore any of the head. You know why? Because they didn't believe he was a prophet. They accepted him as a good man. They didn't say anything bad about him. Everything they said was true. He was the carpenter. He was the son of Mary. He was the brother of James. He was the brother of Joseph. He was the brother of Judah. He was the brother of Simon. He was. Every bit of that was true. And he wasn't ashamed of any of it. And none of that is wrong. They never said one single thing derogatory about him. They just did not accept him as being a prophet. Amen. They didn't accuse him of being disabled. They didn't accuse him of being a womanizer. They didn't accuse him of being a homosexual. They didn't accuse him of being a thief. They didn't accuse him of being a compromiser. They just did not believe he was a prophet. Let's stand up, praise the Lord. Hirelings who are too lazy to work I'm telling you that there is an absolute necessity that the Church of the Living God begin to look back at the ministry in a totally different light. When I look at this man, I look at him not as very keen.
Right.
But to me, he is an absolute ambassador from God.
And it's
that? When God gives us a field of labor equal to His field of labor, you will be honored as a prophet, because when we reap what we sow, if you do it, Brother Dale, they'll honor you as a prophet. Brother Brown, when God gives you your field of labor equal to His, they will honor you as a prophet. Because when we honor a prophet, we are honored as prophets. Hallelujah. I may have told it before. I don't make a note to preach by. I believe that God that anointed me last night will anoint me and inspire me. I do not pre-plan anything that I say. I give you my word as a man of God, and it's all under inspiration. I don't sit around and plan and write down what I'm going to say. I'm not critical of men that do that. I just don't do it. I don't make records of what I preached the last time I was here. I could not care less what I preached the last time I was here. What I'm preaching now is what you need now. And the Lord has been good to me. He's always given me messages to fit the time and to fit the season. But if you heard the story, act like you've never heard it. It's called The Way of a Prophet. The old prophet with his mantle draped over his shoulders was walking through one of the big villages of Bethlehem. A young man admired him. He'd seen it pass by again and again. His admiration grew from the old prophet because there was somewhat of an awe about him. His face shined, his steps were steady, and he walked constantly with his lips giving praise to his Lord. And one day the young man said to the prophet, "Oh, thou holy man of God, would you let me go with you to see what you do?" And the old prophet turned around and said, "Son, it would do me nothing but good pleasure to have your youthfulness as my companion and to have your company with me. But you don't know the way of a prophet, and you would never understand some of the things that I do." The young man pleaded and begged. He said, "Oh, prophet of God, I desire to know what goes on in your life. Please let me go with you just one time." The old prophet looked at the boy and said, "This one time, my son, I will allow you to go with me, but you must promise me that you will not ask me a question about what I do. You will not find fault with what I do. And you will never ask questions. Just observe and accept my ways." He said, "Oh, prophet of the Lord, holy man of God, I give you my word. I will honor you and never ask you a question about what you do." The first day, they came to a large construction project. They were building a large bridge over a great ravine. The prophet of the Lord said to the young man, "Stand here. I'll go ask the superintendent over there if they can share their provisions with us to cause a problem." Of God was not allowed to carry money. He could not carry a change of clothes. He could not carry any shoes. He could not carry any food. He had to be totally dependent on the Lord. And he wore a mantle that identified him. He asked the superintendent of the project. He said, "I'm a prophet of the Lord. This is my companion. Would you share, he and I, of your provisions?" the superintendent said, "Preacher, we'd like to, but we have just enough for our men. And I'm afraid it'll run short, so this time I'll say no." The prophet said, "Thank you, sir. Your kindness of the future is accepted. Good day." And he walked away. That night, the young man and the prophet ate berries, nuts, and herbs from Earth's provision. The next morning, they got up, started out. The prophet walked back to the great and revealed where the workmen had already begun working. He looked up towards heaven, sighed, and prayed, and waved his hands. Instantly, the bridge was completed. The work was done. The men jumped up and down and shouted. The work was over. And they went on their way. The next day, the prophet and the young man found the end of the day a peasant's house, an old shack, run down. Out in the a distance from the house was a milk cow and a stall. An old woman was milking the cow. The prophet walked up to the door of the house. The man in the house came to the door and then stooped and ate. And the prophet said, "I'm the prophet of the Lord. This is my companion. Would it be possible for you to share your provisions? Give us a place to lie down tonight." They said, "Oh, prophet of God, it would be an honor to have you spend the night in our home. We don't have much to eat, but we're more than willing to share. We have fresh baked bread, fresh milk from the cow." So they sat down at the table and faced you. Fresh baked bread was good and warm. The milk from the cow was fresh and sweet. They went to bed that evening. The young man slept on the bed. The prophet walked out the yard. The next morning, as the sun began to arise, the prophet awakened the young man and he said, "It's time to go, son." They began their journey. As they walked a short distance from the front of the house, he looked back at the cow, looked up towards heaven, moved his lips in prayer, waved his hands, and the cow fell over dead. The young man became irate. He screamed. He said, "You're the most unthoughtful. You're terrible. You're the worst man I've ever seen in my life. I've never seen anybody be as you are. Yesterday, those men that wouldn't even give us a bite of food, and you pray and finish that big job for them. And these people, they're so poor, they don't have anything. And the only thing they have, you kill. And you call yourself a man of God." The old prophet went down and said, "I told you, you didn't know the way of the prophet. I shouldn't explain, but this time I will. Yesterday, while you slept, after the refusal of our request, I talked to the Lord all night. And the Lord told me that just inches below the surface of the ground where they were digging to build that bridge was a large vein of pure gold. If they had shared with us, they'd all be rich now. But because they were greedy, they had nothing. And last night, while you slept in the bed, I talked with the Lord, and I encountered the angel of death as he approached the house. I said to the angel of death, 'What are you doing here?' The angel said, 'I've come for the old man.' I said, 'You can't have the old man.' 'No, you can't have the old man. No, they've been a friend to me.' The angel said, 'But I have to take somebody back. I can't go back to him. I've been dispatched to bring back something. I can't go back to him.' And he said, 'I wrestled with the angel and I prayed to God and I got God to take the cow instead of her husband. You don't know the way of a prophet. You'll never understand a preacher. Don't even try. All right. But don't find fault with him when you don't understand what they're doing. Stand up and praise the Lord.
Thank you.
kids can call it dinner if they want to. I'm from the South, we eat breakfast, dinner, and supper.
All right.
It was lunch when you carried it to work in a bag. It was dinner when Mama put it on the table.
Well, praise God. Hallelujah.
But I learned from experience, accepting what the prophet said, applying it to my life, was bettering me.
Right.
I enjoyed taking my wife to a clothing store and buying her a dress that cost over $100 she didn't have put in a layaway.
Okay.
That made me feel good. Because she had been my companion for many years. She deserved better than that. It didn't bother me. Somebody said one time, don't you buy it, you go spend $30 on one meal? I said, not one little hour. I don't smoke, I don't drink, I don't gamble, I don't waste money on wild parties, what? about that much. It's a paragraph. Believe covers every spectrum of honor. It covers honor from one side to the other and from top to the bottom. If we will apply the word believe to our life in the direction of the man of God, I promise you, you will honor him.
Amen. Amen.
If you'll just practice what believe means.
All right.
What is the first definition of the word believe?
To build up.
Oh, building up.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean to stand idly by while somebody tears you down. It said in believing, that makes it a command. When the scripture said, believe his promise, and so shall you prosper, that makes it a commandment if you want to prosper.
Right.
If you want to do better in life, don't run a man of God down. Don't find fault with his message. Don't find fault with the word of God. Don't you have a command for the word of God. But they'll be mad at the preacher when he brings them a message of correction and change churches. But praise God. Build him up. Have a high regard for him and his position. And I'll prove to you Sunday morning from the word of God that God's going to honor him sometimes even when he's wrong.
Alright.
Did I prove it, church?
Yes.
I prove it Sunday morning from the scripture. I used one of the early prophets and I showed you in the Bible where he committed a heinous transgression and God still used him to perform a miracle. And if you weren't here Sunday morning, you need to get to take it here.
Amen.
Well, praise God.
Amen.
Build him up. What next?
Or support.
Support him.
Amen.
What is support? It's standing behind the man of God when he institutes something for your benefit.
Amen.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
All right.
Amen. Stand with him. You may not understand it, but do it anyhow. And don't ask him to explain everything. He don't have time to explain everything. What else?
To foster as a parent.
To treat him as a parent. Foster him like he's a parent.
Amen. Yes.
Don't treat him like a red-headed stepchild. Treat him like your father. And the scripture says, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy years may be long on the earth.
Amen.
I'm talking about honor now. Build him up. Support him. Treat him like a father. Treat him as though he was a nurse watching over you after you have undergone serious surgery.
Right.
Because he's in constant contact with the great physician.
Yeah.
And if infection sets in, he'll call the doctor.
Right.
Right. Hallelujah. Yeah. Hallelujah. He's further down. It's a strange thing, but God gives his proper pastors a hotline to the throne. And he can touch God for his people faster than anybody can.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm telling you, if you have a belief from God, you have put confidence in that man, he can get through to God on your behalf quicker than anybody can. I tell you what, I'm kind of put off with these fellows who come by tooting their own horn, building up a little following, they're following from one church to the other. And they can kind of make it look like they're the only one in the pot that's got any soup around it. I'm telling you now, nobody has any more power with God than the man of God that's watching your soul.
To trust or believe. To trust. are to know He's truthful. That's why I believe His prophecy. Trust Him. Don't doubt. Dare hate. This man has never done one thing to cause anybody here to doubt his walk with God.
Amen.
His wife told me privately the other day. She said, "Brother Tom, people talk about the old men of God years ago that walked upright before the Lord." She said, "I lived with them when I was a girl. I know how they lived, right? And I'm telling you now, none of them lived any better than my husband."
Right. Right.
You got have here for a pastor, honey. All you have here for a pastor. You have here for a pastor.
And
thoughts of war, times of evil. That here the same message, hear the same word. They all heard it. They all heard it. Jesus said they heard it. But because of the condition of the soil of their soul, there was only one more thing that kept it. Just one thing. So tonight, the man of God again is delivered a timely, appropriate message. Wouldn't it be great if all the churches in Portland Metroplex could hear what we're going to hear?
I'm going to go back.